Succession number 27773, Reel 2.
Sergeant Pilot told my the chap who ensured that we'd left the aircraft, he said, "It's all right, we never bring them back." And he was absolutely right. Dropped me 25 miles from where I was supposed to be and dropped me into a fire, which was actually the local priest burning his leaves, and that was the only sign. But I dropped. I went with another aircraft commanded by Duncan Campbell, who was a major in the Argyll and Southern Highlanders, and I had one wireless operator with me, and he had four people with him in another aircraft. But the other aircraft failed to find the fires, and so returned again to Brindisi.
Was there a mission on the ground to whom you were trying to drop?
Yes, there was. I was supposed to be dropping. can we stop it? It's only that...
Okay.
I went in on an operation which was codenamed Clarion at SOE, and it was going into the Lange, L-A-N-G-H-E area, and I was going to join Major Neville Temple, whose other name was Major Neville Deruski, who was with the partisan formations of Major Maury, M-A-U-R-I. But unfortunately, as it turned out, Temple was killed in a car accident about 2 days before I arrived in his area, so he wasn't there to greet me. So I landed on my own, and I was joining to liaise with the 15th Partisan Brigade, which was then stationed in the nearby village of Valle Sotto.
Deruski, you mentioned before that he was his father, I think.
His father was Herman Deruski, a band leader, well known in London before the war. And Neville Deruski, or Neville Temple, as he called himself, was up at Oxford with a great friend of mine called Tommy Walmsley, and he got a hockey blue for Oxford before the war, and then joined SOE, I think, in 1942.
And you went in with a wireless operator, is that?
Yes, right. Yes.
Is that Eddie Covain?
Eddie Covain, yes.
What do you remember of him? Where was he from?
He was in the naval section during the period in Monopoly.
Yes, Eddie Covain. You
were... Yes, he was in the naval section of Number 1 Special Force in Monopoly, and he volunteered to join me when I was made the offer to go to the Partisans. And he came with me as my wireless operator.
Where was he from? What part of the world?
He's a Jersey man from Channel Islands.
Now, you were, what were your activities during the next few weeks?
Oh, well, unfortunately, when I arrived, I fell, as I say, 24 miles from where I was supposed to be, and fell into a tree and was rescued by a man called Sergio Curetti, who was then a partisan, and he pulled me out of the tree, and the only damage I suffered was some cracked ribs. And so the next few days I was looked after by Curetti and by the priest, and also with me were dropped quite a number of arms and cigarettes and goodies for the partisans. And I spent some time assembling the arms and then teaching the partisans how to use the Sten guns and other weapons we brought with us, and it had ammunition as well.
How well armed were the partisans before you arrived?
Well, they were not well armed with good weaponry. They were dependent entirely on drops from the Allies made from southern Italy. And they'd had some before, and this was another lot, and some more were coming with Major Duncan, who didn't drop with me.
And during that that month, that month following your drop, where were you living?
I was living in a village called, I think, San Giacomo, up about 20 miles from Mondovì in Langa. And I was put up in a safe house in the village, and I was looked after by the local men and women who were Italian partisans and very much on the side of the Allies.
Where were the partisans during that time?
The partisans were all over the plains north of Mondovì, which is very wild country, and they were more or less unmolested by the Germans, and my predecessor, Major Temple, had actually gone into some of the local towns and caused some damage to German vehicles which were based there.
Were the Germans in that area in the habit of carrying out reprisals for that sort of thing?
No, they were not the reprisals then. They were in the habit of doing what they called restallamento, which was really marching over the hills in open order, hoping to sweep up any partisans or agents such as me. And that's how I got caught in the end.
Yes, how did that happen?
Well, we were warned that they were going to do one of these restrelamentos, and the time-honored custom was to walk out into the open fields and hide either in cowsheds, or we chose to hide in a haystack. And the restrelamento came past us and passed through us, and we were still in the haystack. Well, unfortunately, we were given away by some locals with Nazi sympathies, and the Germans then marched back straight to our haystack and regrettably found us all there.
Who was in the party with you for that point?
At that stage, about 4 days after I had dropped, another attempt was made to drop Duncan Campbell, and he had, I think I said four people with him, both trainers and also wireless operators, and he had landed and we had met up together, and when we were hiding in the restaurante, we were all together, I regret to say, all seven of us in the haystack, and we were ignominiously caught.
What happened in those first moments after the Germans landed your...
They took us off to Mondovì, and for some reason Crevain and I were separated because we were both in the Navy and the rest of them were in the Army, but we were separated from Duncan Campbell, and we were taken to the local jail in Mondovì and kept there for, I think, 3 or 4 days when we were transferred to Turin. I can't remember where we stayed in Turin, but I know I attended the state jail. I think I was in the state jail and then taken to the German headquarters in Turin for questioning.
Were you kept with other prisoners in those? In both those jails, in Cuneo and in...
Ordinary civilian prisoners, yes. Mm. It was just a civil jail in which they happened to have two people from the Navy cast on them. But
what were conditions like in there?
Well, I wouldn't recommend them, but we were not ill-treated in the prison, and in fact I spent my 21st birthday in Turin State Jail. And we were visited by some Catholic nuns who, on hearing that I was 21, brought me an egg, which was an absolute treasure to be properly fed with an egg for the first time for quite a while. And I stayed in Turin State Jail, I suppose, a month.
Were the Allies bombing Turin at that
time? No, there was no bombing of Turin at that time at all, I don't think. No. I was then told that I was going to be sent to a prisoner of war camp because the Germans had just passed an edict that Home Guard in Germany was to be treated as regular soldiers, and so they said they would treat Allied Home Guard or equivalent, like the partisans, as regular troops, and that in that which case I was entitled to go to a prisoner of war camp, and the naval prisoner of war camp was outside Bremen, and I was told I was going to be taken there under escort. And it took me nearly 6 weeks to get from Turin via Parma. I stayed in their jail for some time, and then Berlin, which where we were bombed by the Allies, and the train was attacked in which I was travelling, and stopped it. But we were then rescued, and I was eventually, after some 6 weeks, taken to the Marleg and Mieleg camp in outside Bremen.
Were you with other prisoners?
No, when you I was on my own. I'd been separated from my wireless operator at that stage, and I was on my own. I was just one person travelling.
Had they tried to question you much?
In Turin they did, yes. But they were quite tough there, but nothing more serious than being beaten about the head. And so I was, I suppose, interrogated 8 times in different days. And they had great difficulty. I had an identity card which showed that I belonged to HMS President, which is the boat lying on the Thames, which is used just as a cover story for people in SOE and others, and I couldn't make them understand why I was attached to a small ship in the Thames, and why I was where I was. They thought it was very strange to have naval people in the with the partisans, but they eventually tired of it, and as I say, when they discovered that they were going to treat their own Home Guard as regular forces, then they applied to me and told me I should go to a prisoner of war camp.
Now in Bremen, that was a naval.
It's the naval camp, yes. Where all the naval prisoners.
What size was that, and what conditions were they like that?
It had been long established since 1940. In fact, some of the prisoners had been there since 1940, and others had been in the Saint-Nazaire episode, and. Anyway, they're all naval officers there, and the camp was very well run, with a British naval commandant. And while food was scarce, we were fed. And, but I was only there a month, and then we were told we had to march across the Lüneburg plain towards the Baltic. And the whole camp moved out, and under escort we were marched it must be nearly 200 miles, to Lübeck, outside Lübeck. And then outside Lübeck we were relieved by the British army forces, who had by that time advanced right across. It was by this stage May, beginning of May. And I was, as I had been in SOE, they knew I was there, and I was taken out on the same day, taken to the RAF headquarters at Lüneburg Heath, and was shipped the next day by air to Biggin Hill. It was the day that the Germans agreed to surrender, and they were going to sign the following day, so there was a great party at the headquarters of the Air Force, and I remember the commanding airman was Johnny Johnson, and he was very kind to me, and Ferriero was very kind to me, but they were so kind they gave me 2 large whiskies, and I promptly fell flat on the floor, not having had any alcohol for a year. But and then the next day I was flown to Biggin Hill, and from there I was given a railway ticket and a bus pass to my home in North London, and I arrived there 5 o'clock on, I would think, about the 5th of May.
When was the last time, when had you last been at home?
It must have been some 2 years, I suppose. But I'd been posted missing when I got caught, and my parents thought I was missing, presumed killed. But when I walked down the avenue where we lived, first time my father had seen me for 2 and a bit years was when I walked in the front door, and he was absolutely astonished. He thought I wasn't there anymore.